الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك هم خير البرية، جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها، رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه، ذلك لمن خشي ربه. وقال عز وجل: إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has created us and sent us into this world with two responsibilities. Number one, Iman. And number two, Amale Saleh. These are the only two responsibilities we have. Nothing more. Iman and Amale Saleh. Innal ladina amanu, indeed those people who accept Iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and who carry out أَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ they are the best of the creation. فرشتوں سے بہتر ہے انسان بننا مگر اس میں ہوتی ہے محنت زیادہ. The effort of Iman and the effort of Amal Saliha will make us the best of the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned only two things, Iman and Amal Saliha, that will make us the best of the creation. Nothing more. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ indeed those people who accept Iman and thereafter carry out أَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ for them are gardens of paradise under which rivers will flow. Iman, Amal Salih. Only two things. For them are gardens of paradise under which rivers will flow. مثل الجنة التي وعد المتقون فيها أنهار من ماء غير آسن. Rivers of water which will always remain fresh. وأنهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه. Rivers of milk, the taste of which never change. The taste of which will never change. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ خَمْرِ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Rivers of wine, very tasty for those people who will drink from it. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. Rivers of pure honey. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And for them in paradise, in Jannah, will be fruits of every type. For whom? Those people who accept Iman and carry out A'mal Saliha. لَهُمْ Jannat. For them are gardens of paradise, تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, under which rivers will flow. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرِ. And this is the great success. So Iman and Amal Saliha, the result of which is paradise under which rivers will flow, this is the great success. There is no other success which is greater than this. So we have only two responsibilities. Iman, Amal Saliha. Now what we need to do is to understand Iman and understand Amal Saliha. And after understanding Iman and Amal Saliha, all we need to do is to fulfill this responsibility. So we become deserving of the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness and proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become deserving of everything that we desire. Because if we carry out these two responsibilities, Allah will become ours. And if Allah is ours, then everything is ours. And if Allah is not ours, then nothing is ours. If Allah is ours, despite having nothing, everything is ours. And if Allah is not ours, despite having everything, nothing is ours. Tum nahi hasil to kuch hasil nahi. Tum huye hasil to sab hasil huye. Tum nahi hasil. If I am unable to acquire you, O my Rabb, tum nahi hasil. If I am unable to acquire you, kuch hasil nahi, nothing. I have acquired nothing. Tum huye hasil, to sab hasil huye. And if I am able to acquire you, then I have acquired everything. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. If you, O Allah, are not mine, then nothing is mine. And if you are mine, then everything is mine, the earth is mine, the heaven is mine. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, tu ek mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. In order to acquire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His attention, His nearness, His nusra, His help, His mercy, His blessing, His love, His pleasure, only two things, Iman and Amal Saliha. Iman and Amal Saliha comes into existence. Allah is ours. And when Allah is ours, everything is ours. Today the Muslim Ummah finds itself in a turmoil. whichever part of the ummah we observe, we see problems. Saudi Arabia problem, Yemen problem, Pakistan problem, Afghanistan problem, Syria problem. And each and every Muslim is eager to solve these problems. And they are all striving to solve these problems. But the solutions are not correct. There is only one solution. Iman, Amal, Saliha. Iman and Amal, Saliha. Only solution to the collective problems of the Muslim Ummah and the individual problems of the Muslim Ummah. Another name for Iman and Amal Saliha is Taqwa. Iman, Amal Saliha. Iman, Amal Saliha. Another name is Taqwa. Taqwa has two levels. Level number one is Iman, level number two is Amal Saliha. Another name for Iman and Amal Saliha is Wilaya. Wilayat Amma. First level of Wilaya, friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Iman. And Wilayat Khassa, the second level of Wilaya, Amal Saliha. Another name for Iman and Amal Saliha is Istiqamah. Iman, Amal Saliha, Istiqamah. Another name for Amal Saliha is Islam. Iman and Islam. So Iman and Islam. Iman and Istiqamah. First level of Wilaya, second level of Wilaya. First level of Taqwa, second level of Taqwa. Different names, but all refer to only two things. Iman and Amal Saliha. Islam is very simple, my friend. So let us remove the word Amal Saliha for a while and substitute it with Islam. Iman and Islam. Now what is Iman? What is Islam? What is Iman? What is Amal Saliha? What is Iman? And what is Istiqamah? And thereafter, what is the first level of Taqwa? What is the second level of Taqwa? What is the first level of Wilayah? What is the second level of Wilayah? These are different names denoting only two things, Iman and Amal Saliha. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those people who say, our Rabb is Allah. Iman. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Thereafter, they remain with istiqamah. They remain firm. Amal Saliha. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ is Iman. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا is Amal Saliha. فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There will be no fear upon them and they will never grieve. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. These are the people of paradise. They will remain in it forever and ever. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ إِيمَانٌ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا أَعْمَالِ صَالِحَةٍ تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Angels will descend upon them at the time of death. Those people who engage in Iman and who engage in Amal Saliha, the angels of mercy descend upon them daily during their lives. Daily, so many times. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mention the time of death? Allah specifically mentions the time of death because at the time of death, this person who carried out his two responsibilities will be actually able to observe the malaika of rahmah descending. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. And they will speak to this person who is dying, أَلَّا تَخَافُ وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Do not fear, do not grieve. Are you worried about the grave? Don't worry about the grave. Are you worried about the day of judgment? Don't worry. Are you worried about the hisab? Don't worry. Are you worried about pulsirat? Don't worry. لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا. Are you grieved because you are separating from your wife, from your children, from your friends, from your near and dear ones? No, don't grieve. Why? Because there is no grave for you, there is no day of reckoning for you, there is no pulsirat for you, there is no jahannam for you. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. the veils will be removed. And from his deathbed, this person will see Jannah. And the Malaika will point towards Jannah and they say, we have come to give you glad tidings of that Jannah which you were promised throughout your life. Throughout your life, by the Anbiya or by the inheritors of the Anbiya, the Ulama, the Duat, those who were inviting you towards Deen and who were saying, Allah will grant you Jannah for Iman and Amal Salihah. Look, their Jannah is waiting for you. So do not fear. No fear of grave, no fear of day of judgment, no fear of Sirat, no fear of Jahannam, that Jannah is waiting. And do not grieve because you are leaving your wife, your children, your friends, your families, your dear, and do not grieve. Why? نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاهُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Because from today we, the angels, are your companion. In that little time that remains in this world, we are your friends in this world. We will be your friends in the grave. We will give you company. We will be friends on the day of Qiyamah. We will be your friends on the Pul Sirat. And we will remain your friends in Jannah also. Iman and Amal Saliha will make us the best of the creation. Iman and Amal Saliha will guarantee us a good death. Husne Khatima. Iman and Amal Saliha will guarantee us rule and sovereignty on this earth. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those people from amongst you who accept Iman and who carry out Amal Saliha. What promise has Allah made? لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That He will definitely make them the rulers on this earth. This is the solution to our problem. Iman and Amal Saliha. So we need to understand Iman and Amal Saliha. And after understanding Iman and Amal Saliha, we need to make a firm resolution that we will not let go of Iman, nor will we let go of Amal Saliha. Nowadays, my friend, we listen to lectures, discourses for pleasure. And for as long as we continue inviting speakers and listening to their discourses for pleasure, not a single drop of hidayah will enter our hearts. Whoever the speaker may be, as long as he belongs to the correct aqidah, he belongs to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and he has acquired knowledge from authentic sources, he has a chain, authentic chain leading to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go into his gathering and listen with zeal and with need, that I am in need of this. And make his talk and his discourse a mirror for your life. And you look at your life in the mirror of his talk. What good you find, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a resolution to remain steadfast. And whatever fault you find, make istighfar immediately and make a resolution to mend your ways. Make tawbah immediately. And thereafter strive to make yourself better. Then only we will benefit. Otherwise these very majalis and these very gatherings and these very lectures will stand against us on the day of Qiyamah. So many things we do today for pleasure only. Lectures, bayanat, for pleasure. Naat, nazam, for pleasure. We do not even make inquiries as to who the speaker is. As long as he sounds good, he is eloquent. As long as my ears enjoy his style of talking, that's enough for me. We go onto the YouTube and listen to any speaker without even knowing what his background is. For Deen, my friends, internet is the most harmful thing in this day and age. For Deen, internet is cancerous. Not only the obscene aspect of it, even the religious aspect of it. So we need to understand and learn deen from authentic people, authentic ulama, authentic centers, authentic madaris, authentic gatherings. Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala quotes him. He says, "Inna hadha al-ilm deenun." This ilm is deen. We say, our success and the success of the whole humanity lies in deen. Not a single ummati will dispute this fact. Our success and the success of the whole humanity lies in deen. But what is this deen that we are talking about? I have a different image of deen. You have a different description of deen. Each person has his own description. Which deen are we talking about when we say our success lies in deen? We need to refer to the definition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What was deen according to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Our success lies in that deen which was deen in the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not that deen which is deen in our eyes. Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala says, deen, what is deen? Inna hazal ilm deenun. Deen is made up of ilm. Deen is understood from ilm. Deen comes from ilm. Five times salat is part of deen. So when you have the knowledge of five times salat, then that is part of your deen. So ilm is deen. If ilm is complete, deen is complete. If ilm is incomplete, deen is incomplete. If ilm is correct, deen is correct. If ilm is incorrect, deen will be incorrect. It is for this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam over and over emphasized the virtues of ilm and the virtues of the people of ilm. Because ilm and people of ilm, they are the backbone of deen. Backbone of deen. Inna hadha al-ilm deenun. This ilm is deen. It is only ilm that is deen. So, fanzuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum. Be very careful from whom you take your deen. Mufti Google, Maulana Google, most dangerous thing for our iman and our deen. We go onto the internet, press a few buttons here and there, and any article that comes on that particular topic, we accept it. Who is the author? Do we know him? What is his chain? Does he have an authentic sound chain? Does his chain reach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? If ilm is incorrect, my friend, then whatever we practice, that deen will be incorrect. If ilm is incomplete, then whatever we practice, that deen will be incomplete. So first make sure ilm is correct and ilm is complete. So our deen becomes correct and complete. So I urge all my friends to sit in the company of the ulama as much as possible. Everybody should make a program in his life that once a week at least, once a week, I will take out some time and sit in the company of an alim towards whom I am inclined. We have 5 masajid in our town, 7 masajid, 10 masajid, and there are 10 ulama who impart durus. I must take out half an hour every week. I must take out 3/4 of an hour every week. I must take out at least 1 hour and carry on with my other activities. If I am a teacher in a Darul Uloom, I will carry on with my those activities. If I am in Dawah and Tabligh, I will carry on with those activities. If I am associated to a Khanqah, I will carry on with those activities. But I must, in order to acquire correct ilm and increase my ilm, sit in the company of an alim at least once a week. If not once a week, at least once a month. Once a month. Connect yourself to the ulama. Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam said to his son, he was very, very wise, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was so wise. There are 2 opinions amongst the ulama as to whom Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was. According to one opinion, Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was a wali of Allah. And according to another opinion, he was a nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was so wise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes his noble advice is in the glorious Quran. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِيذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his advices. He says to his son, يَا بُنَيَّ عَلَيْكَ بِمُجَالَسَةِ الْعُلَمَاء. Oh my son, hold fast to the company of the ulama. Why? Because he further says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the company of the God-fearing ulama, revives the dead hearts. Through the company of the God-fearing ulama, Allah revives the dead hearts. Allah purifies the hearts through the blessings of their company from effects of shirk, effects of nifaq, effects of kufr, from the akhlaq-e-razila, hasad, jealousy, hatred, kibr, pride and arrogance, self-conceit. So we need to understand iman and amal-e-saliha. And after understanding iman and amal-e-saliha, we need to hold fast to iman and amal-e-saliha. What is iman? Iman and amal-e-saliha, iman and istiqamat, iman and Islam. Same thing. First level of taqwa is iman, second level of taqwa is amal-e-saliha. First level of wilayat is iman, second level of wilayat is amal-e-saliha. Iman and amal-e-saliha. What is iman? Iman is to recognize, iman is to understand, recognize and accept the truth. The truth that was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to understand it. And after understanding, recognize it. Recognize it, understand it, or understand it, recognize it. And thereafter to accept it. Accept it wholeheartedly. Submit to it. So the things a person has to do with his heart, that is iman. That is iman. That is the first level of wilayah. That is the first level of taqwa. To purify one's heart from kufr, to purify one's heart from shirk, and to purify one's heart from nifaq. To become a believer. Only recognizing and understanding the truth is not enough. Because Abu Talib had recognized and understood the truth. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ وَوْحِذَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينَ. He said, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ. I know. He said, I know because I have understood and I have recognized that the deen my nephew has brought, that is the best deen on the surface of this earth. I know. I have recognized it. But I cannot submit to it. I cannot accept it. I still remain on the deen of my forefathers. Why? Because I am afraid of my people. لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ. They will lament and they will scold me. They will tease me. They will make fun of me. They will speak ill of me. They will humiliate me. If this was not the case, oh my nephew, I have recognized the truth. I have understood the truth. I have accepted it. But I can't because this is the obstacle I'm facing. So only understanding and recognizing the truth is not iman. Understanding, recognizing and submitting, accepting it wholeheartedly that yes, I have accepted the truth. And whether I am able to carry out the commands of this truth or demands of this truth or not, I accept it to be farz and I accept it to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may not perform salat, but he does not dispute the compulsion of salat. He may not fast in the month of Ramadan, but he will not dispute. He has submitted that yes, it is farz and it is my weakness. Yes, adultery, fornication is haram, but it is my weakness. Clubbing is not permissible, it is my weakness. He submits. He accepts everything. So iman is to believe. Mal iman, Jibril alayhi salatu wassalam said, what is iman? He said, al imanu an tu'mina billah wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wa an tu'mina bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi. To believe in everything. To believe in everything that was brought by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that has reached us through the sublime chain of tawatur. This is iman. And as soon as a person accepts iman, as soon as a person submits, then the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes towards him from all four directions. Perform 5 times salat regularly. Give zakah. Perform hajj. Fast in the month of Ramadan. No adultery, no fornication, no alcohol, no drug. Do, don't. This is Islam. This is Amal-e Saliha. This is Istiqamat. This is the second level of Wilayah. This is the second level of Taqwa. So Amal-e Saliha is to abstain from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to try and do as much as possible from that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, we have fulfilled the first responsibility. And that too was only through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because majority of us were born in Muslim homes. So there was no effort on our part. Iman is there, alhamdulillah. Iman is there. Now, Amal-e-Saliha. What is Amal-e-Saliha? What is Islam? What is Istiqamah? What is the second level of Wilayah? What is the second level of Taqwa? When we talk about Taqwa, everybody wants to become Muttaqi. When we talk about Wilayah, Wali, oh, he is a Muttaqi person, oh, he is a Wali. When we talk about Muttaqi and Wali, immediately we give up. Because Shaitan has misled us to think that Taqwa and Wilayah is only for a certain handful individuals of the Ummah. When a person accepts his defeat, even before trying, how will he be able to acquire his goal? How can you expect a GCSC student to pass his exams when he believes right from the beginning of the year that he cannot pass GCSC? Shaitan has made us believe that yes, becoming Muttaqi is a very great thing, and I wish I could also. I wish I was also a Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but no, it's not possible for me. For me it's not. It's for big ulama. It's for those people who teach Bukhari Sharif. Those people who are ulama, who are leading personnel, Muttaqi and Wali, a simple person like me, no, I can't become Muttaqi, I can't become Wali. Remove this notion from your hearts and minds, my friend. And today, leave this gathering with this belief that I can also become the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can also become the Muttaqi servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah has granted me the same ability to become Wali and Muttaqi that He has given to any great personality of Islam. We all have the same ability. The only difference between them and me is they believed that I can become a Muttaqi, I can become a Wali, and they strived. And me, despite having that ability, I'm not believing. What do you need for Taqwa? What do you need for Wilayah? To become the special friend of Allah, to become the second level of Muttaqi, you need only these two things, Iman and Amal-e-Saleh. Iman and Amal-e Saleh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted not only Muslims, every non-Muslim also the ability to become His Wali. Every non-Muslim has the ability to become Wali. Every Muslim has the ability to become Wali. The only difference is that a non-Muslim will have to do two things. A Muslim will have to do only one thing. A non-Muslim will have to accept Iman and carry out Amal-e Saleha. And because a Muslim is already a mu'min, he already possesses Iman, he will only have to carry out Amal-e-Saliha. Iman, Amal-e-Saliha. Amal-e-Saliha is to to make sure that a person does not do anything that displeases Allah. Another wrong notion in our hearts and minds. What is amal saliha? Tilawat is amal saleh. Zikr is amal saleh. Tasbih is amal saleh. Performing faraid and nawafil is amal saleh. Spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amal saleh. And abstaining from adultery, not amal saleh. Abstaining from fornication, it doesn't strike that this is also amal saleh. Safeguarding your gaze when you're walking on the in the streets, it doesn't strike that this is also amal saleh. So we only look at our positives. Shaitan never let us look at our negatives, and we always tend to become victims of superiority complex, and we feel within ourselves that I'm doing lot of ibadah, and Allah has created me for ibadah, so Jannat is mine. Ibadah has 2 points. Point number one, and the most important, is ibadah amal saleh. Point number one, to make sure that a person does not do anything that displeases Allah. What does that cover? This first point covers faraiz. This first point covers wajibat. This first point covers sunan muakkada. This first point covers haram. And this first point covers makruhati tahrimiyya. Because if I omit farz, Allah will become unhappy. If I omit wajib, Allah will become unhappy. If I omit sunan muakkada, Allah will become unhappy. If I engage in haram, Allah will become unhappy. And if I engage in makruh tahrimi, Allah will become unhappy. So this should be the goal in life. I will make sure that I always perform faraiz. I will make sure I always perform wajibat. I will make sure I always perform sunan muakkada. I will make sure I never go near haram, and I never go near makruh tahrimi. And second point of amal saliha, I will try to do as much as possible to carry out those amal which makes Allah happy. This will cover sunan ghair muakkada. If I omit sunan ghair muakkada, Allah will not become unhappy, but if I carry it out, Allah will become happy. If I omit sunan and mustahabbat, Allah will not become unhappy, but if I carry them out, Allah will become happy. And if I omit nawafil, Allah will not become unhappy, but if I carry them out, Allah will become happy. This is amal saliha. This is amal saliha. To stay away from everything that makes Allah unhappy. To stay away from everything that makes Allah unhappy. And thereafter to do as much as possible from those things which will make Allah more happier. The person who is able to grasp on the first point of amal saliha, who is able to stay away from anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will become the ashik of Allah. He will become the lover of Allah. And the one who is able to grasp onto both points, that he does not do anything that displeases Allah, and he also does so many other things that makes Allah happy, he will become the mahbub and the beloved of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand these points. Iman, belief, alhamdulillah, we have belief. Amal-e-saliha, nowadays what is happening? What is happening nowadays? We have picked and chosen some good amal. Some faraiz, some from wajibat, some from sunan muakkada, some from sunan ghair muakkada, some from mustahabbat, some from nawafil, and that is our deen, that is our definition of deen. And we tend to think, I am deendar. Whereas on one side we are trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and without knowing, we are pleasing shaitan more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our situation is, razi rahe Rahman bhi, khush rahe shaitan bhi. Rahman should also remain happy, and shaitan should also remain happy.
But no, this cannot happen. This cannot. Shaitan will remain happy. Shaitan, if you pick and choose, you do certain things to make him happy, certain things to make Allah, he will remain happy. Allah will not remain happy. Na khuda hi mila na visale sanam, na idhar ke rahe na udhar ke rahe. Such people on the day of Qiyamah will have no refuge. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide Jahannam for such people who used to make Allah happy and Shaitan happy also, they will all turn to Shaitan and they will say, he used to promise so many things that Allah is all forgiving, Allah is all merciful, Allah will forgive everything, don't worry, you have Iman, you have Iman, Iman will take you in. We are going in Jahannam with you. He will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ. Allah made some promises to you, I also made promises. Allah made a true promise to you and I have broken my promise. And I had no authority over you. I had no authority. I invited you with my promises and you readily accepted my invitation. Do not lament me, lament yourselves. It is your fault. You should have believed in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Neither can I help you today nor can you help me today. We will all go in the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, oh people, inna wa'dallahi haq. Remember that promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing but truth. Fala taghurrannakum alhayatu ad-dunya. So make sure this worldly life, the glitters of this worldly life does not deceive you. Wala yaghurrannakum billahi al-gharur. And make sure that the deceiver does not deceive you in regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Shaitan is your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. So regard him your enemy. Always regard him your enemy. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُ مِنَ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. He is always inviting his followers towards the fire of Jahannam. And Allah, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ. And Allah is inviting you towards the Jannah which is known as Darus Salam. Shaitan is inviting you towards Jahannam and Allah is inviting you towards Jannah. Accept the invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nowadays I am telling all my friends that forget the word guna. Forget the word guna, because the word guna has become very light. Guna. Stay away from guna. Very light. Sin. Very light. Instead of guna, instead of sin, tell yourself, stay away from disobeying the one who has created you and granted you all the bounties. Don't disobey the one who has created you and granted you all the bounties. Don't disobey him. Disobey. Disobey. Don't disobey. Major sin, minor sin, major sin, minor sin. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say, Kullu ma nuhiya anhu fahuwa kabiratun. What is this, that this is major, this is minor? Disobeying the one who has created you and granted you all bounties, anything that you do to disobey him is kabira. It is major, because you are disobeying your greatest benefactor. So let us make this firm resolution, my friends, that the first point we need to concentrate on, that I will not do anything that will displease my Creator. This is the first point. And second point, I will try to do as much as possible from that which pleases my Creator. All our akabir, all our mashayikh, all the awliya who have passed and who are present today, in their lives we see the first level of Amal-e-Salihah and also the second level of Amal-e-Salihah. And look at the level, look at the stage that they were on as far as the second level of Amal-e-Salihah is concerned. second level of amal salihah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Sayyid ibn Jubair, rahimahullahu ta'ala. We are talking about tilawah now, tilawah. Tilawah. Daily read one juz, which we find difficult.
The so-called religious people, the so-called deendar people belonging to this community, this locality of Masjid-e-Zakariya, or our locality, Academy or Masjid-e-Noor, anywhere you go, the deendar.
Ask each and every one of them how much Quran they recite on a daily basis. How much zikr they do on a daily basis. How much zikr they do. How much salat ala nabi and durood paak they recite on a daily basis. Despite that, we still feel that we are very pious.
Sayyid ibn Jubair, rahimahullahu ta'ala. One day somebody met him, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. There was heaviness in his tongue. Hazrat, are you okay? You are not clear in your speech today? Not suffering from stroke? He said, no, I'm fine. Nothing is wrong with me. But why is your tongue very heavy? Your speech is not clear? He said, I last night recited Quran more than my regular mamul. What is your regular mamul? I recite one Quran daily in tahajjud. Regular mamul is I recite one Quran daily in tahajjud. And many times in one rakat only. For the tarbiyah of his children, he was answering this. Not to show off his amal. So yesterday you recited more than your daily mamul. How much did you recite last night? He said 2.5 Quran. 2.5 Quran in one night. One Quran daily, and this with all the other azkar and all the other mamulat and all the other studying and teaching that he had to do. This was the status of their second level of amal-e-saliha. And as far as the first level of amal-e-saliha was concerned, it wasn't possible for them to do anything that displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if anything ever occurred remotely, then they would immediately use the ni'mat of tawbah and make sure they make Allah happy immediately. Now, very important point. Iman. Iman. And thereafter, amal-e-saliha. In our day-to-day language, especially the brothers who engage with dawah and tabligh, they say, my iman has become very weak. And when they are able to carry out their amal, they say, my iman has become strong. Iman has become weak, iman has become strong. When they say iman has become weak, iman has become strong, they talk about the amal-e-saliha. They talk about Islam. It's not the aqidah that becomes weak and strong. Aqidah remains as it is. Aqidah has only one level. Because if aqidah drops, you go out of the fold of Islam. If aqidah drops even by 0.5%, you go out of the fold of Islam. Aqidah never drops. You believe in everything or you don't believe in a certain thing. So, aqidah does not go high and low. My iman is high, my iman is low. My iman is strong, my iman is weak. So, when they say my iman is high, they say my amal-e-saliha is doing good. Or my Islam is good. Or my istiqamat is good. Or my second level of wilayah is good. That is what they are talking about. And my iman is low, my iman is weak, they are experiencing difficulty in a'mal. Nothing is wrong with their iman. It is for this reason, amal-e-saliha is also known as complete iman. So a person who accepts all the aqaid is known as mu'min, and the person who also has amal-e-saliha in his life is known as complete mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made no promises for the mu'min only. All the promises and all the guarantees from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are only for the mu'min with amal-e-saliha. That means the complete mu'min.
This is a very, very important point to ponder over, my friends, and worry about our hereafter. My sisters, listen very carefully to this point. Because shaitan makes us believe that, oh, you can carry on with adultery, with fornication, with evil glances, with films, with filthy things on internet, swearing, vulgar language, disobedience to parents. Doesn't matter. Sooner or later, you will go in Jannah. Sooner or later, my brother, you cannot even tolerate the flame of a candle for 3 seconds. How will you tolerate the fire of Jahannam for many years? But let's assume that, yes, okay, I will go in the fire of Jahannam, stay there for a few thousand years, and eventually I will find myself in Jannah. It's true. If we go with Iman. If we go with this Iman. Iman and Amal Saliha, Allah guarantees peace of mind and tranquility of the heart in this world. Iman and Amal Saliha, Allah guarantees Husn Khatima. Iman and Amal Saliha, Allah guarantees a garden from the gardens of paradise in Qabr. Iman and Amal Saliha, Allah guarantees shade under His throne, shade under His mercy on the day of Qiyamah. Iman and Amal Saliha, Allah guarantees an easy reckoning. Iman and Amal Saliha, Allah guarantees book of deeds in your right hand. Iman and Amal Saliha, Allah guarantees full sirat easy. Iman and Amal Saliha, Allah guarantees entry into Jannah without our having to go in the fire of Jahannam. But only Iman and no Amal Saliha, sinful life, only Iman. Peace of mind, tranquility of the heart is not guaranteed. If Allah wills, you will enjoy. If Allah does not will, He'll snatch it away anytime. Only Iman, Allah does not guarantee Husna Khatima. If He desires, you will go with Iman. If He doesn't, at the time of death, Iman will be taken away. He has gone with Iman. Allah's Fadl was with him. Only Iman. Amale Saleh, very weak. Allah does not guarantee a garden from the gardens of paradise in grace. It could be a ditch from the fire of Jahannam. Allah does not guarantee shade under His throne, shade under His rahmah on the day. Allah does not guarantee easy reckoning. Allah does not guarantee easy pul sirat. Allah does not guarantee safety from the fire of Jahannam. Allah does not guarantee entry direct into Jannah without going in the fire of Jahannam. So now we understand the importance of Amal Saliha. That through Amal Saliha, Allah guarantees everything. Without Amal Saliha, there is no guarantee. There is fear. Fear on every step. Fear on every step. Fear on every step. So from today, my friends, let us make this the goal of our lives. What is going to be the goal of our lives? Amal Saliha. And from that, the first level is to abstain from everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure we carry out farz. Make sure we carry out wajib. Make sure we carry out sunnah muakkada. Nowadays our young boys, they come into the masjid even on Fridays in the last minute after the khutbah is over. After the khutbah is over. Khutbah is incumbent. What about sunnah muakkada before salat? Sunnah muakkada after salat? And as far as Sunnah Ghair Muakkada is concerned, we do not find Sunnah Ghair Muakkada even in the religious people. Sunnah Ghair Muakkada, Mustahab, Sunan, only handful of Sunnats. Only handful of Sunnats. Why? Because we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only out of His fear. We don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we love Him. So we are only scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. The religious people. If I don't perform Fajr, Allah will punish me. If I don't perform Zohar, Allah will punish me. If I don't fast in the month of Ramadan, Allah will punish me. It's a punishment, punishment. There is only an element of fear. There is no element of love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our pious predecessors, there was element of love. Hazrat Maulana Fazlur Rahman, Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, very great saint of his time, he says that when I put my forehead on the floor in sajda, I do not feel like raising my head, because at that very moment I feel that my head is in the lap of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When their head used to go in sajda, they used to find it difficult to raise it. And when we raise our head from sajda, we find it difficult to put it back in sajda. That is why there is a lot of difference between how Allah dealt with them and how Allah is dealing with us. Lagata tha tu jab nara to khaybar tod deta tha, hukam deta tha samandar ko to rasta chhod deta tha, dasht to dasht darya bhi na chhode humne, bahre zulumat mein dora diye ghode humne. That is how Allah dealt with them. Everything was in their control. They ruled the whole universe. The whole universe. Earthquake takes place in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. And with his whip, he strikes the earth and he says, am I not obeying the Creator? Am I not obeying the Creator? Am I making any mistake? Why? Why are you disobeying me? I am obeying my Creator, disobey, and you are disobeying me? Obey me. And from that day till today, earthquake has not struck Madina Munawwara. River Nile, Umar radiallahu anhu writes a letter to River Nile. It stopped flowing. It used to dry up. It was from Shaitan. And Umar radiallahu anhu writes a letter, if you are flowing through the command of Allah, then flow. And if you are flowing out of your own will, Umar does not need you. And it began flowing. From that day till today, River Nile has never dried up. Umar has gone. It's been 1400 years. Ya Sariyah al-Jabal, al-Jabal. Ya Sariyah al-Jabal, al-Jabal. Umar radiallahu anhu is standing on the member of Madina Munawwara. And a Muslim army is fighting thousands of miles away from there. And Umar radiallahu anhu sends this message to that army through the wind. And the wind is under the command of Umar. It takes the message of Umar radiallahu anhu. And the whole army hears this command of Umar radiallahu anhu. The four elements. The wind, the clay, the wind, the earth, the water, the fire. A complaint reached Umar radiallahu anhu that a fire has engulfed the houses of Madina Munawwara, and one after the other, the houses are burning, and we are unable to control it with water. Umar radiallahu anhu takes off his garment that was covering his upper part of the body. And he says, take this garment and put it in front of the fire. As soon as that garment was put in front of the fire stopped. They became Allah's, Allah had become theirs. But they were very, very particular as far as Amal Salih were concerned. As far as the first level of Amal, never, never disobey Allah. No, never disobey. We can give our lives but not disobey Allah. How can we disobey Allah? How can we disobey Allah? And the second level, so high, Allahu Akbar. Second level was so high, that Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, one night at around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, middle of the night, I was walking in the streets of Madina Munawwara, and I saw a strange man in the darkness entering the house of a strange lady who lived on her own. He said, I tried to figure out who the person was, and I realized it was Amirul Mu'minin Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, negative thoughts started running through my head and mind. Strange lady, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, midnight, what is Umar doing here? They were not like us. That when they used to see their Muslim brother do anything wrong, they would feel happy. That, oh, he is of a lower class than me. No, they would feel concerned. That what is Umar doing here? Is he doing something that is detrimental to his hereafter? I need to inquire. So he waited. After half an hour, three quarter of an hour, 1 hour, when Umar radiallahu anhu left the home, Talha entered the home. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. Who was here a few minutes ago? I don't know, but he comes here every day. He comes here every day during the night after everybody has gone to sleep, and he cleans my home. He washes my utensils. He attends to my goats. He does all my household work because I am sick, ill. And he probably knows I don't have any men to look after me. I have no son, no husband. So Talha radiallahu anhu said, "Woe to you, O Talha." He said, "Woe to you, O Talha. You are in search of the fault of Umar. And Umar is in search of the pleasure of his Rabb." Look at the level of the nafal amal. Level of the nafal amal. So my friends, let us go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah from today, the target will be, or the aim will be, or the goal will be, Allah will never become unhappy with me. And now with this concept, when you stand Allahu Akbar in the court of Allah, you will feel happy that salat is not burden, it is something that is making my Creator happy, and because it's making my Creator happy, I'm also happy. Allah is happy with me. I'm doing this to make my Allah happy. Allah is happy. That's why I'm doing this. Allah is happy with me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, kindness, He knew that their goal in life is not to make me unhappy, but because I have not made them immune from sins, so they will falter, they will slip, and they will make me unhappy. They will make me unhappy. A person will try his utmost, and for 1 year he will be able to do things which will keep me happy, and suddenly he will slip and he will make a mistake. Minor sin, major sin, he will make me unhappy. And some people, weak, beginners, they will slip after 24 hours, after 48 hours, after 72 hours, and they will make me unhappy. If I only say to them that, look, keep me happy, and the day you make me unhappy, you are doomed. They will have no chance. So Allah, out of His mercy, said that, keep me happy. But when you make a mistake and I do become unhappy, then I'm giving you this ni'mat of tawbah. Use it and make me happy again. And I'm giving you this ni'mat of tawbah to use it 5 times in your life, 50 times, 500 times, 5,000 times. No, use it as many times as you want. Use it as many times as you want. And it is with this a couple of notes on tawbah that I would like to conclude. Tawbah, a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. It is through this door of tawbah a person reaches wilayah. It is through this door of tawbah a person becomes muttaqi. It is this through this door of tawbah that a person is able to get grip on amal-e-saliha. Tawbah, use this door of tawbah, my friend. Especially my young friend, who will go from here as beginners. Because they are immersed in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. For the sake of Allah, do not give up. Do not give up. Because all of you have a chance. All of you have a chance. Allah loves you. That is why He brings you in His home despite all your disobedience. Allah loves you. I always tell my young friends that after you make a mistake and you feel regretful and remorseful, that is a sign that Allah is knocking at the door of your heart, and Allah is giving you this message that despite your evil doings, I still love you, come to my doorstep. Don't give up, my sisters. Don't give up. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. But don't let go of this. Don't let go of this. Tawbah is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through tawbah, a person becomes the beloved of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-taibu habibullah. The one who repents, the one who makes a U-turn, is the beloved of Allah. Inna Allah yuhibbu tawabin. Allah loves those people who repent, who make a U-turn. Tawbah means to make a U-turn, to return. Go with this resolution that today I have become the lover of Allah. I have become the lover of Allah. I will make sure that because I love Him, I will not disobey Him and make Him unhappy. But if overcome by nafs shaitan, who are very strong on me at the moment, and my spiritual stamina is weak, if I do make Him unhappy, I will not give up. I will make tawbah again, just like I'm doing now, and make Him happy again. And if they make me break the tawbah and make me make Allah unhappy, I will again make tawbah and make Allah happy. And if shaitan and nafs exert effort upon me and make me break my tawbah and make Allah unhappy again, I will again repent and make Allah happy. I will continue with the cycle just as shaitan and nafs will continue with the cycle. جو ناکام ہوتا رہے عمر بھر بھی بہرحال کوشش تو عاشق نہ چھوڑے. We are عاشق. And if we continue to fail throughout our lives, we will never leave our trying to become the عاشق of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never. We will never step back. From today we want to become the lovers of Allah. We want to become from those who make Allah happy. جو ناکام ہوتا رہے عمر بھر بھی بہرحال کوشش تو عاشق نہ چھوڑے یہ رشتہ محبت کا قائم ہی رکھے جو 100 بار ٹوٹے تو 100 بار جوڑے. If the توبہ breaks 100 times we will join our ties with Allah 100 times and if the توبہ breaks 1000 times we will join our ties with Allah 1000 times. If it breaks 100,000 times, if it breaks 1,000,000 times, if it breaks 1,000,000,000 times, we will never give up. We will continue joining our ties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every time we make Allah unhappy, we move far away from Allah. As soon as we repent, we are in the lap of Allah again. And I want to mention only 2 benefits of tawbah. One I have already mentioned. Allah, this person becomes the beloved of Allah. Just 2 benefits. Benefit number one. I and Mawlana. May Allah save all of us from sinful activities. I am only giving this example. Me and Mawlana. Good friends for 30 years. Example. Good friends for 30 years. And every day we go out and disobey Allah. Same activities. Exactly same activities. Both of us. For 30 years exactly same activities. When we return home, lie down on the bed, the noor of Iman will always pull regret in the heart. Because Allah loves people with Iman. So on the bed, lying on the bed, on the pillow, the head, and thinking about Allah, that I've disobeyed my Creator. I need to leave this filthy life. But I go to sleep. And Mawlana, same thing is happening in his bedroom. And he says to Allah, "Oh Allah, forgive me. From tomorrow I will not do anything wrong." When we wake up in the morning, I am still sinful because I have not repented. And Mawlana is sinless. The following day we go to work factory, come back in the evening, we call each other, overcome by shaitan, nafs, wrong company, whatever you want to call it, we go again. Same sinful activities return again. The same thing happens again. He repents, I don't repent. The thought enters both our minds. He repents, I don't. And this continues for 30 years. Last night of our lives. He goes to sleep. Again he says to Allah that, "Oh Allah, today I am 100% sure, like every day, I will never commit sin." And during the night he dies. The regret was there, but I did not utilize the regret. I went to sleep without tawbah. On the day of Qiyamah, Mawlana will enter Jannah without any hisab. And I will be questioned for 30 years. Look at Tawbah. Look at what a great neighbor Allah has given us. So why do we give up? What have we to lose if we use that Tawbah again and again and again and again? And second benefit of Tawbah, why does Shaitan keep us away from Tawbah? Because every amal, every good amal has an effect, has some kind of vitamin for our spiritual life. The effect of tawbah is that the stamina to resist sins increases. So if a person does not make tawbah, he will not be able to resist sin. And if a person makes tawbah, again tawbah, again tawbah, again tawbah, again tawbah, again tawbah. So before, after every 24 hours he used to sleep. Now he finds that he can carry on till 25 hours. And then it's 48 hours. And then it's 72 hours. and then it's 1 week. The same sin. But now, the resisting power is increasing. Because the stamina is increasing inside. This vitamin of Tawbah is making this resisting power more stronger. And then, a person is able to resist for 1 month and then he sleeps. And then 2 months and then he sleeps. And then 3 months and then he sleeps. And soon he will find that there is a barrier between himself and that particular sin. So from today, we will do nothing that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through any disobedience, we will immediately use the ni'mat of Tawbah. And with that, we will continue with the second level of Amal-e-Saliha, whatever we may be engaged in. We will not leave them because they also have their benefits which will strengthen us and which will make our carrying out our faraid and wajibat more easier. And in order to help us in all this, we need to sit in the company of the ulama. Because if we sit in the company of the ulama, we will be able to understand Amal-e-Saliha better. What is farz, what is wajib, what is sunnah muakkada, what is sunnah ghair muakkada, what is mustahab, what is haram, what is makruh tahrimi, and what is makruh tanzihi. We also need to sit in the company of the mashayikh. Because when we sit in the company of the mashayikh, then the halal and the haram of the heart becomes easy to control. Hasad, jealousy. How can I rid myself of jealousy? I know jealousy is haram and I know I'm jealous as well. But how? It's not any dirt or filth on my jubba that I can just wash it and make it clean. I want to remove it. How can I? It is through the instruction of the mashayikh that we will be able to remove jealousy. Through the instruction of the mashayikh that we will be able to remove kibr and ujb. So sit in the company of the mashayikh. Read authentic literature written by authentic ulama under the supervision of authentic ulama. And number three, in order to keep this worry in our hearts and minds, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay in the environment of the masjid. When you stay in the environment of the masjid for 3 days, for 10 days, for 40 days, the same fikr, the same concern, the same worry that is being generated here now, that fikr, that worry will be generated. And when that worry is generated, a person will come back with this zeal. That in order to understand Amal-e-Saliha better, I need to sit in the company of the ulama. In order to purify my heart, I need to sit in the company of the mashayikh. And when a person continues with this cycle of da'wah, tabligh, sitting in the company of the ulama, and association with the mashayikh, a person will become a muttaqi. And when he goes from this world, the malaika will say, Salamun alaykum, tibtum, fadkhuluha khalidin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al jannah. In Ibn Majah Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the people of Jannah will enter Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al jannah. May the peace of Allah be upon you, O the people of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to carry out whatever we have learned today. And may our lives remain in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till we breathe our last. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to strive for his deen, to propagate his deen, and to benefit from the ulama and the mashayikh. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا الى انفسنا طرفه عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما اعطيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهدنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في عالى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم اجعل خير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك الصديقين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق ووحد صفوفهم اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك ونبيك ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاد به عبدك ونبيك اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا رشدا ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمته.